Christian Parenting.
Welcome to Pardon the Mess. I'm your host, Courtney DeFeo, and on this podcast, we talk about raising kids as Christian parents. It's so very important for me to honor God with my family and the two kids that He's given me, but honestly, it's not always neat or easy or tidy, but it's always worth it. So join us every week to laugh and learn together on this beautiful and messy journey of parenting. Get pumped and maybe get a tissue. I really cheered up twice during this one. So Sarah Molitor with Modern Farmhouse Family is adorable. Y'all, she has 7 kids. 6 of them are boys. And spoiler alert, the last one is shocking. And she has a viral video that shows the video of when they all found out they had a baby girl coming. And she said she was so shocked. So you got to go watch that. Millions of people have seen it. In fact, I knew once I was staring at her face, I'm like, I've seen her face. And it was because I'd seen that video. How crazy is that? But she talks all about our words today. And I have 2 people on mine that I really want you to make sure you listen all the way through. For those of us that have a little fiery temper, that have used our words to hurt people or lose our temper. And I know for my friends and I that talk about it, there's a lot of shame there. And it's like, will I ever be better than this? And she is. And she has been, I almost said healed, but she has had freedom and come on the other side of being trapped by just the cycle of anger and words. And so you will love how she talks about just how we use our words to speak life, how she uses her words to even come up with a nickname for her kids. Like she'll talk about Helpful Hudson as something they just came up for one of them. And then they did nicknames for everybody and how that's really, they've resonated with those and really stepped up to their nicknames. So cute. And then the last part at the very, very end is why we go a little long. I happened to ask her about like, what is the story? Like, what was the story? Where were you with your marriage? And she really opens up about how they were kind of at a crossroads. Like, were they going to stay in it? She really was unhappy and how God redeemed the whole thing. And I mean, so many people are in this situation and it's hard to talk about with your family, your friends. You want to honor your marriage and your spouse, but guys, you're going to be so encouraged by what God has done in her marriage. And now they have 7 kids and they're doing great. So be encouraged. You're not alone out there. We all have struggles. I've struggled with every bit of this as well. And she was such a blessing to be on the show. Enjoy. Hey, Sarah, how are you today?
Hi, good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. We just chatted before for 10 minutes. So I'm like, oh, now she's my friend. We just met 10 minutes ago.
Easy.
Okay. So pronounce your name, Sarah Molitor. Did I get it?
Molitor. Yep. Like you're going to the mall.
Okay. Oh, Molitor. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I love it. Well, so great to meet you. And I love that God has put in your heart a passion for words and choosing. Your book is well said, choosing words that speak life, give grace, and strengthen your faith and family. Amen to that. So, so important. So tell us a little bit about your family and where you are.
First a wife, second a mother, 7 little ones for my husband and I, ranging in the ages from 11 all the way down to 6 months. And it is, when I say it's loud, when I say it's fun, when I say it's joyful, when I say it's all the things, it is all the things all at once sometimes. Yeah. And we live in Central Washington on a little bit of land, but we're not, you know, we don't have cows, sheep, and goats. So, you know, for reference, I have my balance. I want land, but I don't want all the extras that come with it. So there you go.
Well, that's probably handy with 7 kids just to open the door and be like, go out.
Yes,
go out.
That is the handy part. That's the part I love.
I love it. How many boys and how many girls?
So we have 6 boys and just had our little girl this year.
What?
Yes.
Yeah. That is amazing. Yeah. Maybe I feel like you popped up on my Instagram. I feel like, was there a video about you announcing the gender?
There was a giant gender reveal. And I guess we didn't anticipate like how much that would resonate. And yes, I think it spread a little bit further than we anticipated, but it's been super fun. And she was, I mean, when I tell you it was the shock of a lifetime, I am not putting on a facade. Like we looked at each other before shooting off those cannons. And I was like, it's blue. Like we were so like sitting in this, we are going to have 7 boys. Like we, and I was in that, like, that is who I am, a part of me. And so shock for everyone, you know, and totally win-win either way. And anyway, it's just, it's been a crazy ride and it is all also fun and joyful.
I bet your boys are precious with
her.
Oh
my goodness.
Is it just the sweetest thing you've ever seen?
It is the cutest thing, to the point where I'm like, you need to put her down. I need to hold her. Like, you need to let me mother her.
Okay. I'm going to share that video, because I'm looking at your face like, wait, I have seen this.
Yes.
It has gone through my, I'm sure I was scrolling one night and, you know, you get over to like your aunt's cousin's dog account. You're like, how did I get here?
Totally.
So that's so fun. Okay. I'm going to go look at it again. All right. Well, I would like to know, and I'm sure people's first question, which you get a lot, and I'm sure it's annoying, but how in the world are you alive? You have 7 kids, and then somehow you found time to, you know, do the other things, which I think for people are just like, how? And I know, I'm sure you don't do it perfect, but what would you say, how did you accomplish? I'm sure you've done more than a book, but how do you fit all those things in your life?
Oh man, is embracing the seasons, because I feel like I can look back at the seasons of even like 2 to 3 kids, and they felt heavier and harder than this season does, right?
Wow.
So I think you're like finding those pockets of time in each season to do what you can to the capacity you can. Mm. And if it's not a season that can carry a capacity, then you move in that, and you are flexible in that, and you're leaning into that. So for me right now in this season, I'm leaning into the fact that I have an 11 and a 9 and a 7-year-old that are, you know, able to bathe themselves and dress themselves and do certain things themselves. And it gives me a little bit back that maybe I didn't have when I was in the throes of 3 or 4 very little ones, where I was all the needs for all the things all the time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, leaning into those pockets, finding them, taking advantage of them. And then when I don't have them, leaning into that season too and saying, that's okay, I can let that go right now.
Right. Right. That's so good. Okay. So, you know, this is part of the mess. So we like to have people reveal their dirt in a way that makes us feel better about ourselves.
Absolutely.
So is there anything, like, look past the computer, even anything in your eye line, like, what's a messy part of your house that you've just had to live with that is messy?
Oh, I just walked by the laundry on the way. Oh man, if you could get a glimpse into my laundry room. I have this really wonderful system, in theory, where I have 6 really nice hampers lined up. Each kid puts their stuff into their hamper. I do laundry by person. Anyway, you know, it sounds super good. Sometimes it works. Right now, there is about 10 piles of clothes, 5 of them that have been folded and sitting on the table. And the boys are literally going in there and they're like, which pile's my underwear? Which one? And I'm like, you're just going to have to find it. Because, you know, laundry is like a 3 to 5 day business processing time, right?
Yes,
and so,
absolutely.
I say that in the same time that I'm just like, isn't this supposed to be working? The hamper system is supposed to be working for me.
In theory.
So we're living off, I think we're going to have a sort your sock day here soon because my pile of socks, I know we have matches in there. I do.
For sure.
I am like convinced on it.
But I just did this weekend. It's like maddening.
See? My sometimes I will like dump them. And I'm like, you know, a penny a pair. Like, that's just, we're going with it right now. Like, we're going with it. A little bribery goes a long ways. And I'm not beneath that. I'm like, you know.
Yes.
Anyway, so.
If it gets them to action. My friend Wendy, she has an Instagram account called The Peaceful Home, I think is the name
that's
of it.
A nice name.
To it.
Yes,
that's
a really nice name.
Yes, she's very peaceful. She's very peaceful. But she does, I think she has 4 kids. She does a kid, and now they're older, so just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
They do a day per human in their house. So
I've heard that. I love it. I love it in theory. I think it sounds
great
good.
In theory until they're like, hey, I forgot to do it. But then it's like, okay, you didn't wash your school skirt, so you're out till next Thursday. But I don't know. We have not done that, but I have 2 teenage girls, and I did finally say, okay, they're very capable. You can do your laundry. You can put it up. But I sort of love laundry. So I told them on Sundays, instead of me nitpicking them all week, on Sundays, before you go to bed, your laundry has to be done and it has to be put away. Now, one of them will fold it neatly, like the home edit, and make it perfectly in her drawer.
Yes.
The other one, you'll find like all of it shoved under the bed.
Oh, you have that too?
Yeah.
We have the same thing? Okay, just making sure.
And I'm like, wait, you put it up, but there's like a bathing suit, a sock, a hammer, like everything is
laughing. Yes. This I can relate to, Courtney. This I can relate to.
This is the stuff. But I do think you have to get rid of some of those. By the way, this wasn't the topic of our episode, but I like laundry. So I do think you have to get rid of like it looking the way you would do it and just being like, hey, it's in your room and you know where to find your shorts at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, let's make a nice pivot from mess and then let's talk about words. I do, as I was looking through your book and this topic, I was coming to mind, I kept thinking of a few friends, and I've been this way too, that have thought, I cannot stop being harsh with my words. I feel so angry because we don't know we're angry to our parents. I'm so embarrassed. I don't know how to get out of it. It's a cycle. Mm-hmm. So I believe you may have had a moment like that where you had that realization too. So tell us about it.
Maybe just one moment.
One or a hundred.
Yeah. You know, I almost hate thinking back to it because of those words you said, embarrassed, regret, all those things. And what I found now is that I can live in forgiveness and redemption, and I cannot forget, but that not forgetting is not a thing to bring shame on me. It's almost just a reminder, like almost a healthy reminder. So, you know, people say forgive and forget, and I almost think that like to forget loses that bit of an edge to keep you, you know, on your game and to keep you moving forward. Like I want to remember that in a healthy way to know like, no, I don't want to go back there. I don't want to be where I was. I want to be moving forward in that. And yes, I've had those moments. I've had those moments of blowout. And what I've realized through it all is the massiveness of God's grace and the massiveness of redemption. And it enables me even as a parent to turn that around on my children and say like, okay, there's a lot of grace here because your mama has been given a lot of grace and has been given a lot of redemption. And so I can walk in that not only as a spouse, but I can walk in that as a parent as well in raising my children.
Yeah, I love that. What would you, or how would you encourage a parent that feels like they make progress and they're set back? It's like two steps forward, one step back. How can they, I don't know, even practically start to change this rhythm and cycle of just anger and harshness, really?
Yeah. I mean, I hate to be like a broken record of like practice, 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 but sometimes I feel like that is the key because I mean, everything we do is built on habits, right? And so, I mean, if I can sit in the mirror and I can repeat something 10 times, eventually that response becomes less habitual and it becomes more a part of who I am. So, you know, if people look at me and they say, oh, you know, before I had a baby girl, they might, oh, you have six boys, your house must be crazy. You know, my response can be, and there is so much joy in it as well. Right. And at first it sounds forced, but honestly, by the 10th, 12th, 15th time, it's me. I'm like, no, it is joyful. And I'm speaking that. And so what I'm speaking is not, it may start as habit, but it becomes me the more I say it. And I'm so grateful for that because it's almost, I feel like that forgiveness and that renewing and transforming that we're going to go through, like we should be going through that all the way till heaven every single day. And if we're not, I feel like it's less healthy. So I'm grateful that not that I'm messing up, but I'm grateful that I can recognize the mess up and ask for forgiveness again, because I feel like that's a good marker of like, I got Jesus in my heart, got Jesus in my life. And I know he's doing good things in me. Even though I mess up, I know that I can still turn back to him, not to stay stuck there, but that he'll continue to renew and transform my heart and help me get to that next place in him where I'm not messing up as much, where I'm not doing the same thing over and over and over.
Yeah. I love that. I think you're exactly right to practice it. And you're right. Yeah. One example I was thinking of when I worked at Chick-fil-A, they were like, and now you're going to say my pleasure every time someone says thank you. And I'm like, my pleasure. And now it's literally my gut reaction is to, I don't say you're welcome anymore. And it's still like, I don't work there anymore, but I'm still like, my pleasure. If you're like, wait, did you work at Chick-fil-A? I'm like, I did, but I mean I that. It is my pleasure.
But it's you now. It's like Courtney now. I love that.
That's right. I'm also thinking back to a time that this was a part of my life. And I can honestly say that we are through it mostly. You know, there's a time where you just are time of the month or whatever and you lose it. But I think it was those little years where I was physically pulled on. I was emotionally pulled on.
Yeah.
I was sleepy. I was overcommitted, and that is a true, honest statement. I was doing good things for the Lord, but I was so overcommitted that any little bandwidth that they would ask for something, I would like launch into them like it was their fault. I'm like, I am trying to write a blog post, folks, about patience. That would be my question and also my encouragement to people is to kind of pay attention to the rhythms. It's like, where is that happening? Is it 5 o'clock every day? Do you need a walk? Is it 9 a.m. every morning? What are you doing at that time? You know, those kind of things that go like, what is making me go from fine to not fine within 60 seconds. Did you do anything practical like that, like walk away and pray or practically have that help?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. I think one, what you're speaking to, again, goes back to what we were talking about with that capacity in whatever season you're in, right? Like the Lord may have a season for you where you're equipped to do all the things all the time, whatever your, you know, heart's desire, but it may not be this season. And so as much as you want that, you have to stick in where you're at. You can't say, I'm going to jump ahead to level three when I'm at level one building the building blocks, right? So for me, a lot of that looked like lowering my expectation.
Because
a lot of it is what we put on ourselves, right? It's it's these expectations that my kids are going to do X, Y, Z by this time at this moment. And as soon as I took off a lot of that by myself, it was like just like knocking the brick weight off of myself. Like, oh, I don't have to hold my family to a standard when we're just at the building blocks. Like I need to start at square one. I can't start at square five.
Yeah.
And in that was what you're saying was those, like I call them my mommy timeouts in the book, like because they are literally taking advantage. I mean, a lot of times it's sitting on the toilet and killing two birds with one stone. And I am, you know, doing what I need to do, but I am also taking a breather because that's the moment I can do it. And if that's 30 seconds of walking to the back, I found so much value in that 30 seconds walk in the hallway, walking back to the room. You know, there was a reason, even still right now, that when there's a time when I need to sit down and chat with my children and there's a consequence or a discipline that needs to happen based on, you know, something that they did, that I'll say like, hey, I want you to go back to my room and I just want you to sit on the bed for a couple minutes. I'll meet you back there. And that's not necessarily for their benefit. That is for their mom's benefit.
That's right.
So that
that's
have a moment to say, Sarah, you need to do this out of a right heart and out of a right mind, or else you're going to go back there and you're going to lose your words and you're going to regret it. But if I take those 2 minutes to walk the hallway and say like, Lord, help me, because right now I want to lay it on the line, you know, and it's so amazing how many times I've walked that hallway and I can feel almost the, like as I walk back and I step into that room and I'm like, okay, the grace you have been given, pass it on. Yes, there may still be a consequence. Yes, there still may be a discipline, but it's not hellfire and brimstone, you know, on a child who they can't manage that. They can't take that on like I can.
Yeah, man. This is so TMI, but I'm like, your kids are going to be like, Mom, are you okay? Why are you still in the bathroom? Yeah, my stomach hurts.
Yes. Seriously.
It's amazing. You're like, wow, she's been there 12 minutes.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Okay.
I'm like, it's better for you.
And then the fingers and toes appear under the door. Yeah. It's amazing. Parents, we are always looking for quality tools and resources to help our kids develop a relationship with the Lord. This is why Christian Parenting is so excited for you to get your hands on a brand new devotional. It's a journal made just for kids ages 6 through 12, and it's called My Time with God. Your kids will use this colorful and fun devotional to read scripture, engage in creative activities, deepen their prayer life, and learn the benefits of spending time with God every day. Over 20 days, your kids will gain a solid understanding of Christian principles like what is prayer, why spend time with God, who is the Holy Spirit, and much more. We all want our kids to grow up with a desire to spend time with God and be in His Word every day. But we also know that being consistent can be really difficult. So don't miss out on this opportunity to help growing little believers learn how to connect more deeply with God. For more information and to get a copy of My Time with God for your kids, head on over to cpgive.org. That's cpgive.org. Have you guys heard of the online learning program called IXL? My kids were actually required to do IXL as a part of their school, and they would roll their eyes when it was time. But I think they would tell you years later, and I would tell you, that it really worked and it helped them so much. They received the help they needed in subjects where they were struggling. And I know other parents at our school that used it for their kids that are ahead and they weren't getting challenged enough in the classroom. IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum and your child's classroom learning. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting it to each child. It meets them where they are. Plus, iExcel encourages students to be curious and empowers them to choose how to learn. And the best part is iExcel is easy for parents. Don't we need that? One site gets you all you need, and iExcel customizes learning for each child in your family and their specific needs. iExcel is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, and it makes it simple to find activities for the exact skills that you are covering. It also offers instant feedback and explanations of the topics as the kids use the program, which is super helpful. So you can feel confident as a parent that your kids will gain an understanding of the skills they are learning. Make an impact today on your child's learning. Get iExcel now. And pardon the mess, listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an iExcel membership when they sign up today at iExcel.com/today. Visit iExcel.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. So I want to switch at some point. We are going to get to the positive side because there's a lot of good that can come with our words. Yeah. But I want to pause on one more thing as I'm processing through this as we're talking. So I think part of my embarrassment and shame is not necessarily what other moms think or my husband, because it's like, you're human. I'm an adult. You know that you just, it's more of like guilt about, did I screw up my kids? Like, did my words wound them? Not just frustrate them or make them cry. Is it a wound? And David Thomas, who we were just talking about with Raising Boys and Girls, he said to me one time, don't investigate for pain. And I think out of my guilt, I have gone back to my kids and said, do you remember that time I kicked the trash can when we lived in Atlanta? And they're like, no. But I do think there's value in not just like bringing back a memory for them, but just saying, hey, is there anything, you know, and I've said to my kids, is there anything heavy on you that I've said or, you know, anything that I can apologize for? So there's ownership, there's vulnerability, but there's also, you don't want to like bring up to the surface like memories either. So do you feel that tension? How would you encourage us to kind of, I don't know, maybe just think through, like, do we just say it's God's grace? You know, they're going to learn through our imperfection. And I'm sorry I'm processing this out loud, but it's really helpful to me for this counseling session. Thank you.
Thank you for joining. I think there is so much power in invitation. And what I feel like I'm hearing you say, because of what I'm seeing in my own life, is that when we invite our kids in to an appropriate level, for an appropriate, like what we're dealing with, it's almost like the Lord, there's like exponential growth in that. So for example, the other day I'm, you know, outside with my son and he like, you know, one of the brothers did something and he like, you know, lashed out on him. And I'm like, instantly, I'm like, that is me. Like I see me in you. Right.
Yeah.
And I could easily say, and I have like, don't lash out on your brother. That's not what we do. You know, that's not how we respond. And I was like, okay, Sarah, there's a different way. And so I just looked at him and I was like, hey, bud, that wasn't super kind, you know? And he goes, I don't like that I do that. And I was like, I don't like that I do that either. Because your mom does that. Like that is something. And I was like, bud, I can tell you like that is something that I have struggled with and I still battle and the Lord is still helping me with, but like he can do it. And he was like, I don't want to do it either, mom. Like, and I was like, this is an opportunity. Like in my head, I'm thinking this is an opportunity. And it just reminded me that moment, reminded me the power of the invitation. I struggle with that same thing. He clearly probably gets that from me.
Yes. I don't know. He's probably one of six boys,
but I can invite him in and say like, I struggle with this and I want to turn to the Lord and respond in a right heart. And instantly, just by inviting him into something I struggle with, he was like, I want to do better in that too, mom. Like I want to. And so I think there's something to that. And I'm realizing there's something to that too, at an appropriate level, again, inviting our children into our struggle and saying, let's grow in this together. Like our children mimic us. They reflect us in so many ways, you know, to a point that's glaring. And so if we turned that a little bit and let them in on it, I feel like that just does something in their hearts and it does something in ours that allows us to grow in that together. And they realize, hey, like mom isn't perfect in this. Wow. She's still making progress in this and I can make progress too, because look how old she is and she still needs Jesus, right? Like we need him all the way through. And it was just a really cool moment for me to realize that I could, you know, past Sarah might have been like I said, that first reaction. Yeah. And now I'm realizing a little bit more like how I can use that.
Wow.
To guide a moment.
I could see the tears in your eyes because that's so tender. Like yeah, it's super tender. And it's one of those moments where you're like, your kids could say that we are sinners and we're saved by grace, but he just experienced it with what you did. Yeah. And that is super powerful and so helpful. So helpful.
Yeah.
Thank you. I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so helpful. Okay, let's turn to the good stuff. So we have an opportunity to use those same words for some great stuff. So tell me about what you've learned through that or why that was important for you to write about.
You know, when I had these moments with my husband kind of came to, and I talk about this, comes to like this ultimate blowout. I had, you know, there were a lot of things stewing in my heart. And I wouldn't say that like words were the root of it, but I think words were a reflection of what was going into my heart, whether that was discontentment, whether it was anger, whether it was resentment, all these things. And I remember I called my parents hoping for a little backup, you know, like any daughter does, like they're going to back me up. And my dad got on the phone and I thought, this is the moment. And it wasn't the moment, but it was. It was a good moment. And he talked about something out of, I want to say it was in Jeremiah. And it talks about how, you know, the people are in exile and they're in a place they don't want to be. And honestly, they probably have every right to be upset.
Yeah,
and he said in that, you know, instead of the Lord, you know, like our current culture being like, you have every right to be upset. You know, you sit in that. You know, the Lord said, build homes, make a family, plant your garden, do the thing where you're at. And my dad spoke that to me. And he's like, you may not like where you're at. You may not like what you're doing. You may not like the circumstances that were handed to you. I mean, or that you chose, right? Because sometimes we build our own circumstances. I don't want to glow over that. But he said, but you can still take this advice thousands of years ago. It is relevant to you today. And you can make a choice here. You can make a choice with your words. You can keep degrading. You can keep talking down. You can keep using all those roots and letting them spew out as word vomit. Or you could flip it and you could say, I'm going to take what I have. I'm going to suck the blessing out of the city I'm in. I'm going to milk it for all it's worth, even if I don't see it. And now, you know, there was like 7 years of yuck for me. And there's been 7 years now of blessing and of milking. And now I can look at my situation and say, I love where I'm at. I love the circumstances I have. They're not always perfect. I love the city I am. It has grimy parts, but like, I love it. And I love the people I'm around and I'm in a church I love. And I couldn't have told you I would have found that in those first 7 years because I was just so stuck in certain things. But when I realized that I could, you know, for lack of better cliche, like bloom where I'm planted.
Yes.
When I realized that I could do that and I could, and that it started with the spoken word, it started with my saying, I can be joyful in this space.
Yeah.
I can do this. I can find the good in this. And honestly, verbalizing that, that's when the turnaround point was for me. And I can tell you that the fruit of walking in that has been so wonderful. Like it has just been so beautiful. And nothing I could have dreamed of, Courtney, nothing I could have ever imagined.
Wow.
Only God could have done it, but it wouldn't have happened. I feel like if I wouldn't have gotten that little kick in the pants, but also taken the advice and said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try it. Like, what's it going to hurt? It's not going to get worse than this. It's not going to go, we're not going to get any more in a pit. Like, right. I can only climb out. And so what can it hurt?
Wow. And what a dad.
Yeah.
I mean, what's his name?
I'm grateful.
What's his name? Papa.
Well, he's Papa to my kids, but he's Jerry. But I am so grateful that he didn't come against and defend me as his daughter and say, I've got your back, girl.
Wow.
You know,
that is huge. And you're bringing my counseling session with you today is excellent. So I'm thinking, like, I really have felt a shift too. Like, in the last year, I think we came out of COVID. I had some medical things. My husband had pancreatic cancer, which is a whole story in December. But we came out of that going like, there's less have to and more get to. It surely still is.
Oh, that's good.
Like, you know, we have to still take him to school or buy the cheer uniform or whatever the thing is.
Right.
But like, I've had more joy in doing things that really used to annoy the snot out of me. I'm like, I would drive him a million places and then think, Ella's a junior. Like, I have two. First of all, she's driving. I don't see my oldest one. She's gone. And then also, she's going to college. So there's just like fear. Less, no, it's not fear. It's like urgency. Like, I get to parent these kids for a couple more years. They're not dying, but they'll probably be out of my house. They're super independent. So they're going to be like, peace out. I just bought myself a house. But I do think that that is a really cool shift. And I think it's encouraging for parents to hear that, that you just didn't muscle up and get better version of yourself. Like God did a transformative work in you, and it's possible no matter how old your kids are. You know what I mean? Like mine are 16 and I can still transform and learn and grow to be joyful where I am. So,
and again, healthy. Like if we aren't, then maybe we need to reevaluate, you know, maybe we need to be like, Lord, is there a spot? Is there a place that you want me to do that? You know?
Yes.
Because I almost want to like rest in that. I want to rest in that fine balance of like heaven and earth and finding the, you know, the in between.
Oh my goodness. Isn't that interesting where you feel like you've just accomplished something? You're like, oh man, I've made it. And then he's like, okay, since we got that one, surprise. There's
since
more
we cut
dirt.
That branch off. Let's go to the next one.
Next one. Oh, it's so rude. You probably know Avocado Green Mattress for their certified organic mattresses. I've been talking about that lately. But did you know they also make unbelievably breathable natural bedding? From soft organic cotton sheets to light as air silk and lofty down duvets, their bedding is designed to naturally regulate your temperature and keep you cool, comfy, and sleeping soundly all night long. So listen up, hot sleepers. This one's for you. This bedding is perfect for hot sleepers in warmer months. Hello, Texas summer. Avocado sheets and duvet inserts are naturally breathable, and they help regulate your temperature so you can sleep cool, dry, and comfortable all night long. And just like those mattresses, avocado bedding is crafted from renewable, biodegradable materials with the highest social and environmental standards. So it's better for you and better for the planet. And beyond that sustainability, this bedding is designed to deliver luxurious comfort that will have you looking forward to crawling into your bed every night. Head on over to avocadomattress.com to save 10% on all bedding and 50% on clearance bedding. Avocado, dream of better.
Hey y'all, life's journey is filled with change, growth, and exciting new chapters. Whether you're welcoming a new family member, stepping into a new city, or chasing after your biggest dreams, you need a ride that's built with more space for the grand challenges ahead. The Toyota Grand Highlander is made for those who embrace every twist and turn. With advanced safety features, innovative tech, and a bold, sophisticated design, it's the SUV that adapts with you with room to spare. This spacious beauty seats up to 8, gives you up to 97.5 cubic feet of cargo space, and has a diverse engine lineup, available in gas or hybrid options, including the powerful 362-horsepower Hybrid Max. Plus, available all-wheel drive means you'll have confidence no matter where life takes you. Ready to take on your dreams? The Grand Highlander is more than a vehicle. It's your partner in embracing all life throws at you. From daily routines to unexpected adventures, it's up for every grand challenge. Learn more at toyota.com/Grand Highlander. Toyota, let's go places.
Okay, let's talk about our kids' potential and value. One of the things that I love to do, and I need to do it more, is speaking specifically to my children. So I think our words are like a superpower when the Holy Spirit convicts us to say certain things to certain people. Because it's like, you know, when it's happened to you, or even when Papa has done that specifically, which I bet he has, it's like, I personally needed to hear that word of encouragement. So tell us how that works. Is that something that's important in your family? And how can we help folks speak those specific words?
Yeah. After, you know, going through the thing in my marriage, you quickly realized, I quickly realized at least, what a ripple effect that has. Like my children at the time, you know, I had two and they were 1.5 and a baby.
Yeah.
And it almost was enough even at that point, like, oh my goodness, if they heard me say those things to their dad, if they heard me speak those words in our home, it was enough to sit in me a thing of, I want to change, and I want to change because not just for me, not just for my marriage, but for my children, and then for their marriages, and then for down the line, because we're building a legacy, right? Like we're looking generations beyond. We're not just raising kids, we're raising future adults. And so how do I balance all of that? And so that kind of became my mission as a mother. Like I'm not just going to speak life to my husband. I want to do it to my kids too. Like I want to change this for my kids. And I can't tell you how many times there are specific things we do. You know, I write a letter to them on their birthdays and I read it out loud to them, and the beam in their face. Yeah, I know, you know, like as a parent, like you see those certain smiles where you're just like, oh, I just hit the nail on the head. Like that just spoke to you. And it was almost like that positive feedback. Oh, I want to do that again. Yeah. You know, even just as early as this morning, I was talking to my son and I said, okay, Helpful Hudson's going to help me do this. And he looked at me, and we've been on this thing this whole past summer. We've been on this thing of I gave everyone a name. And I thought I would kind of change it like weekly. And turns out they really want to stick with their name. Like they really are taking pride in that.
Cute.
And my second son has been Helpful Hudson. Like on a couple of the boys, we did like alliterations, you know.
Yeah.
And he, can I just tell you and like be honest, like he is not my most helpful kid.
It's like calling the fearful one, like brave Ben.
No, like he is not my most helpful kid. He has become these last 2 months, I have never seen him more helpful.
Wow.
I have never seen him more eager to live up to that name than I have this. And he like to the point where he is going around and he's like, is there anything else you need me to do? And
stop.
I'm like, what child are you again? You're my child who throws the clothes in the bin, like you said about your teenage daughter. Yeah. Like you're that child. Like you're, you know, and he'll come up to me on his own. He'll be like, by the way, I just like while you were back there, I just did this. And I'm like, and he's looking for that validation in that name. And I have been blown away. So we've got, you know, we've got Helpful Hudson, we've got Brave Beck, we've got Smiley Crew, we've got, you know, Compassionate Jude, we've got all these things.
Oh,
and they're in the car having these conversations. And they're like, the older boys are telling my 3-year-old Beck, Brave Beck, they're like, Beck, don't you remember that you're brave? So like, you can do that. And I am like sitting back there like, this was just a moment we had.
Okay, I'm like doing this, it. Everyone's doing it. I'm so
literally
fired up.
It was just a moment we had. I couldn't even tell. It was like a 5-minute conversation. And I was like, hey, boys, like, what if we try this? They have carried it further on their own than I planned to carry it. So I'm just going with it at this point, Courtney. I'm like, we're in it. Like, we're sticking in it. And it has been the sweetest thing, not just from me to them, but amongst themselves, like they're carrying it with each other and, you know, almost to a fault, you know, where like one of them was like, excuse me, remember that you are supposed to be helpful because you are helpless.
Can you grab
like,
my laundry?
All right.
And
like,
clean up
guys,
the car.
Like we are like, okay, like let's not lord it over each other. Right. Like, but I like the Lord took that farther than I ever could. And they carried it and they took so much pride in it that I am almost like, okay, like every quarter we got to switch names and we got to like give you a new name. And like, I'm just trying to picture in heaven what that looks like when Helpful Hudson is not 9, but he's 21. And at this moment in time, a word was spoken over him and what that's going to look like later on. And like, it's enough. It's enough to make me want to do it again and to make
it's
me want to
so
stick in it.
Good. And two things that came to mind. It's so good. I'm so doing it. I've got words for them. Like I've prayed over like these are the 4 or 5 things that I've always thought in you. But I love the nickname because I do think we can get labels of our negative stuff. And we joke about it
totally.
As a family.
Totally.
You know, I've got one. We don't call her fearful, but definitely more cautious. Than I've got one that has zero caution and she'll be in jail or break off the bones. But I do think we can quickly joke about and speak to their natural quirkiness.
Yes.
And I love this idea that it's just a positive word, but it's also something that you wouldn't expect. It's like the helpful Hudson. That's so good. That you're like, well, you can be. And you are.
Yes.
You just don't display it all the time. Or he didn't before. So that is so good. I can't wait to take that away. Okay. This is funny to me, but I know people said it might blow up. And we didn't really tell your story. So people are like going to go to your Instagram and start searching like what happened. So like do you talk – and I haven't read your whole book.
You'd have to search a ways back for that. But yeah.
But was it around your marriage? Like, was that kind of the core? Do you talk about it in the book or is that personal?
Oh, man. You're probably not going to like me in chapter one. I feel like it was so funny. I have to tell you, when I wrote this book, I wrote this chapter and I had actually had it as chapter 5.
Okay.
And they were like, this needs to be chapter 1. Like, we're setting the stage. And I was like, people are going to hate me after chapter 1. Like, they're going to be like, Sarah, who does she think she is? Her poor husband. And so there's a lot of times in the book, I'm like, stick with me. We're getting to the good part, guys.
Yeah,
but like, you have to lay a foundation. So, you know, long story longer or shorter for our sake and listeners' sake. you know, there was a point in our marriage, I married the man of my dreams. I had everything, you know, I had prayed for, like God did it all, right? Mm-hmm. And somehow it wasn't enough. Mm. And it wasn't enough for me. And I wanted to live by my family, not his family. And I wanted to go to the church I wanted to go to, not the church he wanted to go to. And I wanted to, you know, and it got so and that it trickled into every little area of my life. And I let it. I mean, I let it because it felt good and misery loves company. And I felt like if I'm going to be miserable, someone's going to come down with me. And like, you're the person. Bless my husband. Like, and if you know him, he is like the most easygoing, the most kind, like the most. So that's why I say when people read the book, they're going to be like, Sarah is not a saint, but Tim is, like, he's super cool guy, but you just got to stick with me to chapter two. You got to stick with me through it because what the Lord did in that, I mean, it was, when I say it was years of buildup, it really was until this moment when I don't think it wouldn't have mattered what Tim said. I was just waiting for a moment, you know, to let everything come out. And what started as a kind of a nag, you know, the Bible talks about like a nagging wife is like a drip, drip, drip. Like, I feel like that was that drip, 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 like all along the way for years. And no one would have ever known, Courtney, if you knew me, you would have been like, Sarah's like, she loves the Lord. She's a great Christian. I knew how to hide it well. I knew how to, unfortunately, say the things and still look the part, but still do the things I was doing in the background. And so it was just kind of that constant dripping, and it built up into, you know, a big waterfall of word vomit. And I said what I said without, you know, probably saying like swear words or anything, you know, I probably like said everything I felt like I could say, you know, without going over whatever sort of moral line I had drawn for myself. That wasn't really there. It was an imaginary line. And when I did, it all came out. And I mean, it's like the same thing I'm saying about Hudson, seeing on his face the beaming pride when I said something about him. It was like the opposite on my husband's face when I said everything. And it was so hurtful. And it devastated him. It devastated me. And I didn't know what to do. And that's when that conversation with my parents stepped in. And it was, I mean, it was a mix of that, but it was also, I mean, the Holy Spirit, you know, coming in. And it was enough that when I saw his face, I can still see it in my head, and it's enough to still, you know, convict me now, but it was enough to see that on his face that if you don't stop now, there's going to be irreparable damage.
Wow.
But if you can change now, you can rebuild. And it wasn't we're going to fix this building. Like there was a rebuild that needed to happen in our marriage. And so, you know, forgiveness, like step one, like repentant heart forgiveness, like genuine, like, I don't want to do this. Number two, it was, and I kind of talk about this more in Well Said, like number two, it wasn't inviting him in. I couldn't do it alone. And Tim was like, you don't have to do it alone. Like, you're not like, I'm here and I want this. And I was like, you are so graceful. Like, you are so kind to want this, because he's like, I know who I married and I want this. And so a repentant heart, a forgiveness, and inviting him in, walking alongside me to the point where like, where I would get worked up and he would say, Sarah, like, look at yourself. Like, we can see where this is going. You don't want that. Like, I'm going to go outside. Like, let's revisit this in just a few moments when we can both gather heads. And he was willing to take a part in that and to help walk me through that along with God's grace, to a point where it became less habit and less, you know, just doing the thing to do the thing, that it really did start to become a who I was, that I wanted to speak life, and that I realized that's not going anywhere. Let's go the other direction. And so all that to take me to now, that it's still imperfect, it's still messy, but there is so much goodness in it. And there has been such a change of heart for me, and there still is, that I don't want to go back to that. Like, I don't want to go back to who I was and what I was doing.
Sarah, I have a feeling that this will be the thing that wrecks people. Like, everything you said was good, but I am like visualizing several of my friends that are probably crying at their steering wheel. And I think these kinds of moments are really hard to talk about when you're in them, because you don't want to dishonor him. You don't want to dishonor your family. But there's a lot of people silently struggling in their marriage. And so, I mean, I could just boohoo, because we are great, but we have been in that spot. And much of what you said, I have been. Like, I, you know, I was unhappy, like not with him, but like, I want to go back home and, and blaming when it was like not his fault. So, oh gosh, I can't wait to go read every word of that. And I'm just so grateful that you're Tim and you, that's his name, right? Did I get right, Tim?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That you both are okay with sharing your story, because I think it will really, really help some people.
Good. I'm glad. I hope it does. I mean, I not because of, us, just because I want the Lord to do the same thing. I want him to do it again. I want to do, you know, do it again, Lord. I want to keep saying that for everyone.
Yeah. Man, thank you. So, hey, will you come back on? I'm a big fan.
Oh my goodness. You're so kind. I would love to. I'm so honored you had me. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Pardon the Mess. As always, we've got more encouragement and resources over at christianparenting.org. And you can also stay connected with us on social media at Pardon the Mess. And if you like this episode, I'd love for you to do two things. Press follow on whatever podcast platform you love, and also be sure to leave a rating so other parents can find us. Remember, you're never alone in this beautiful mess of parenting.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.